long, I want to ask you this. Let's just pray a brief prayer. Father in heaven, in these few minutes that I have here, please lead me as to what to share. In Jesus' wonderful name, Lord, so aware of my need for you, help us now, Father, to receive what you want us to receive during this time. Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Father. Okay. Yes. Come with me to the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. The book of Ephesians in the New Testament is a book of doctrine. It was written really for the doctrines of the church. It was written that the church would be sure of their foundation, that they would be clear about the things of their faith. And there's some thought that this was, whilst it was written to the church in Ephesus, it was a circular letter. We're going to be very brief as we go through this. We'll continue in the evening session, but I'm just going to take literally a few minutes here. We've had testimonies this morning, and that's been the major focus of what we've done. But I do want to go through a few moments here where we're reading from the book of Ephesians. Let's read from chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Very nice opening. Grace to you there. Grace is the word that means not just unmerited favor, which is the cliche that is often thrown around. It is that, but it's more than that. And to limit it to that is unfair. It's God's ability to do all that God has called a person to do. So the use of grace there is a very potent use of a word. God's ability to you to do all that he has called you to do, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. We heard our sister mention earlier in the testimonies about not perhaps being sure of what was hers or what she could believe for. Once we take this word as authoritative, once we read this word as authoritative for us as believers, and we read it with an understanding that this is, look, let me read it like this. The apostle, let's pretend I have a time machine, okay? I have a time machine here, like Doctor Who's TARDIS. That's a time machine, isn't it? And this time machine that's here, what's going to happen is I'm going to go and I'm going to collect someone. So, bye everyone. I just do. I've disappeared. I'm gone. Everyone is silent. And then a few minutes later, I come back with the time machine. I open up the door. I step out. And then I introduce the Apostle Paul. There he is, folks. It's the Apostle Paul. Welcome, Paul. We're so happy to see you here this morning. We're delighted. I wondered what you looked like all these years. It's just tremendous to see you. There's so much we want to hear from you. What would you want to say to us? He might very well pick up this Bible and tell me to read the book of Ephesians, because that's what he wants to say to us. It's right there in the book of Ephesians. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying to us, and he is the ambassador of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus wants to say to us. So now you see, when we read this with that intent, it makes a lot different reading at times. Verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Just as he chose us. He chose us before the foundation of the world. Could it be that he chose me before the foundation of the world? But it must be, it says so. He chose me before the foundation of the world. But I thought it was a choice that I made when I was 15 years old on that golf course in South Wales. No. No, not according to this. It did seem like that, but there was more to it. Very often in life, it does seem that way, but there's more to it, doesn't it? You know, yesterday as I was speaking to a couple of people, it was interesting as they told me about their lives and they retraced their lives and how they could see that God was with them at those points in their lives and God was protecting them at those points. Our brother highlighted it earlier in his mentioning to us. And so often, I think, if we look back at our lives, we realize, you know what? It could have been a disaster, but something happened. And it was God. It was God. He was there helping us. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You see, friends, in the modern church, so often it's the people who think that they're in charge. It's all about people. It's I, me-centric. But the Bible is clear that it is God who's in charge. That it's God who decides the great things of the world and the universe and the planets and space and time. God is in charge. You say, but I don't understand it. I mean, I chose to have Rice Krispies for breakfast. Well, yes, you know, whatever it is, there are things that we are involved with. We are involved. And the Bible says, choose this day who you will serve. So we have to make a choice to serve. We make a choice to believe. So we do have choices, yes. But it's like this. There's, in the Word of God, a truth on this side that we have choices to make. The truth here that God is sovereign and he orders all things after the counsel of his own will. And those two, to the natural mind, seem as if they oppose one another. And this is why you have Arminianism and Calvinism and all those theological debates. But to us who are supernatural, who are above the natural arguments, the truth is held in tension. Both those are true, both those equally apply, and there we are right in the middle, seated with Christ in heavenly realms. Does it make sense? Listen. This is what he says. Do you want to work the works of God? Anyone here want to work the works of God? I'm closing. Do we really want to work the works of God? Yes? Yes? Shall I give you the key to working the works of God? And of course, it's not under my authority. It's in the Bible's authority. Would you like me to give it to you? Yes. Let's turn, shall we, to the Gospel of John in closing. the Gospel of John, and the 6th chapter. Because that question was asked by them. And people today all around the world are asking the same question. What should we do to work the works of God? I want to serve God. I want to be all out for God. And you know, people give all sorts of answers to that question. They say, well, you've got to pray more. No, some people say, you've got to pray and you've got to fast. And not pray and fast for just a day. You've got to pray and fast for a week. And then God will know that you mean business. And then some other people say, no. It's about study. You've got to study and you've got to just keep, you've got to get your mind filled with the. And there's all different answers that people give. Attend conferences. Be really diligent. But what I find is that so many of the answers point, even though some of them say things that we agree with and are good to a degree, so many of them point to the works of the flesh. They point to human fleshy works and self-effort. But the Bible doesn't do that. To work the works of God according to the Bible, it's not about my self-effort or a work of the flesh. It's about, let's turn there, John 6, 28. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. To work the works of God is to believe in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And once we believe in Jesus and we rest in that belief and live in that belief and allow him to abide in us, it flows from us. The life of God flows from us. And it flows automatically because he's residing in us. That's the work of God. Glory. It's shouting stuff. It makes me want to shout and bubble up with joy. Because it's not about my effort or your effort or a denominator or any theories of men. It's about belief. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus makes it easy. Religion makes it very hard. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, I said I'd be brief, and I am. Let's stand, shall we? Let's sing that song to close with, about surrendering all as we close.